ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show this hour, brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back. Hot? What?
What?
On every vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose a 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry into your Saturn retailer today.
That's a heck of a lot of money back.
Big show today. We have our favorite humorist, Charlie Pierce, yes. Author of Idiot America, and Representative Elliot Engel, healthcare warrior, Congress critter from New York, in hour number three today. Oh, all right. Mama was on the Larry King Live last night, and I did it. Chris, I was able to get in my Carrie Prejean jokes. I was able to get in the inappropriate, and I'm going to storm off jokes. However, it was about Sarah Palin.
Larry, I don't think she's going to come back on your show because clearly you were being inappropriate and she was about to rip her microphone off and leave. Of all the conservative women books out, I found Carrie Prejean's book more intellectually satisfying. But, I wish Sarah Palin well.
You want her to run?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
I'm with James.
Yes. Yes, I do. For comedy? Yes. For the country? Not so much.
No. It wouldn't be good for the country.
Highly entertaining, though. Just the debate between her and Obama. Maybe they can get into the finer points of constitutional law.
And what a vice president does.
I wouldn't even know which right wing tools.
Her name is S.E. Cup.
S.E. Cup.
Mm-hmm. S.E. Cup. Yes. And she is frequently on Hannity, like almost every night, along with Kimberly Guilfoyle. They form a panel together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so it's just shrill conservative women.
Yes.
Bitching.
And yes, and then she had he had Sarah Palin's friend on from Alaska. I don't know who she is, whatever. But
she was a barrel of laughs.
It was the whole. Are you getting sick of this whole pity party for Sarah Palin? What is the deal? This whole book is.
Yeah, it's just a lot of whining.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about the McCain people were mean to me. Katie Kerrigan. Seriously, this whole book is like painting her as a victim.
Yeah.
So then they showed a cover where she's posing provocatively. Palin had said
that was for Runner's World.
Yeah, but she's like, they're like, oh, and look how the media sexualized her. And I've made the point that, hello.
Excuse me, I got something here, Larry, because, excuse me, but Sarah Palin sexualized herself. What was all the winking about? What were all the signs that the Republican invention had been out about how hot she was?
That's
you
crazy.
Guys sexualized
that's,
Sarah Palin.
That's
she
crazy.
Sexualized
she's
herself.
A woman.
What's with the winking?
She's
what
an
vice presidential candidate
woman?
Has ever winked?
Why do
during
conservative
a, during a
women have to ugly up or act like men to be taken seriously?
But what vice presidential candidate in a debate has ever winked?
James, you want
I'm
to say something?
I'm sure I could name five or six.
James.
S.E. Cupp said while wearing her naughty Catholic schoolgirl outfit.
I mean, seriously, am I crazy? My dad ran for vice president.
Right.
I never saw him wink once, not during the entire 1964 campaign. I mean, please. She sexualizes her. Remember I can't remember all the signs at the Republican convention about whatever. MILFs and do you remember the signs?
Well, but she's not responsible for the signs.
Well, right, but my point is they really played it up, and she played it up. Come on.
Oh, she did
with
play
the winking
up.
And all that stuff. She, mm-hmm. And this wasn't like Photoshop. She posed for this picture, and it's part of the poor me. Oh, poor Sarah Palin. She was so victimized by being chosen.
You know what? Politics is tough. You got to toughen up. You can't be a whiner in politics.
Yeah, what does she add to the dialogue in this country except for more just partisan vitriol, you know? And this book is all payback. Like, mm-hmm. How does that – I don't even get the point of it. She's about trying to really increase her stature and run for president, and this book is just a whine fest.
Yeah, she's – with all of this whining and all of this backstabbing, she's not going to be able to find anybody who can, A, run her campaign, B, serve on her staff because nobody wants to put up with that kind of backstabbing.
Here's one of the most horrifying things that I found out. So not only did the McCain campaign have the judgment to put her in the position of being a heartbeat away from the presidency, mm-hmm. but did you hear the part where she said that they thought she did really well in the Katie Couric interview, which I think shows an even more horrifying lack of judgment than we had previously known of the McCain campaign.
How can that be construed as doing well?
I was saying the other night, it's like, you know, parent watching, I don't know, you know, when you watch a kid in a swim meet or something and they almost drown and you're like, oh, that was good, honey. Yes.
Participation ribbon.
Wouldn't you love to be in that green room after the Katie Couric? Oh, Sarah, that was, oh, yes. Yay. Good for you. Okay.
Just throw her a pair of water wings.
Wow. She needed a water weenie for that interview. She needed some sort of help of some kind. All right. And I think I was making the point last night, too, that, you know, the whole Levi Johnson thing, all that stuff, they were asking about that. And I thought the whole difference is that she's one of these Republican family values,
right,
lecturing everybody else, including the gays, about stuff.
Yep.
People. And, you know, it's like no one would care about that stuff except that, come on, she used her kids as props up there to talk about, oh, look at what a, you know... All right. Could you take your organ out for me, please? Speaking of which, we had the proprietor of GodHatesShrimp.com on
yesterday.
Yes, we
did, and he was hilarious.
Because it's a parody of the GodHatesFags.com.
Yes.
Because apparently God hates shrimp more.
And lobster.
Yes, and we had a right-wing Bible quoter guy call yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I must admit, I'm a little caught with my pants down when that happens because I don't really. I'm like, I don't know.
You went to Catholic school for 12 years?
That's in what? Rutabagas 7, 4, what? Okay, let's see. Steve says, Staff, next time someone points out anything in Romans, you should note that the book of Romans was not written by Jesus or even one of the apostles. Romans was a letter to the Romans by, as I recall, St. Paul, who never actually met Jesus. I forgot about that.
Okay.
Yes. Many intolerant things people attribute to Jesus actually came from Paul, and according to some, Paul may have been struggling with his own sexuality. Oh, fabulous.
Oh,
or perhaps a homosexuality when writing.
Fabulous!
All right. So just keep that in mind when dealing with those who say Jesus preached against homosexuals. The whole of the New Testament wasn't written by Jesus or even his 12 apostles. Thank you, Steve, for those Bible fun facts. I think we pointed out to the caller, Jesus never said peep. He never said squat about the homosexuality. All right, Michael in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Speaking of right-wing gay-bash women,
yes.
Carrie Prejean.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that you talked about the Vivid having a whole weekend's worth of material.
Yes, she made 40 biggest mistakes of her life.
On a related note,
yes.
I started following you on Twitter.
Oh, thank you.
Which was really, really funny. I started looking at your Twitter thing, and do you know about the lists?
What list?
Well, you get listed by people under certain categories.
Yes. Oh,
you've
no.
been listed as people we wish were in porn.
What? Thank you. That's very sweet. Thank you for that
really
magical moment.
Michael.
I got to figure out how to tweet pictures. Can I tweet pictures?
Well, yeah.
Because,
Yeah.
Because
I
there
need
was
to
people.
How.
Somebody was there with was taking pictures when I was on the set last night with Larry King. Those would be cool pictures to tweet, right?
Yeah, you put them up a TweetPic or something.
Anywhere.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm still learning. I'm a tweeter newcomer.
Yeah, I know you hardly ever tweet too.
Yeah, that's true.
I know, and he
I tweet way more than you, and I never.
Oh,
tweet.
And he harangues me this one, and
you
I.
You should also subscribe to me. I tweet a lot more than she does. I'm at Radio Guy Chris.
All right.
Are you going to make us happy and be in porn?
All right, thank
Her
you,
boobs
Michael.
Aren't big enough, Michael.
I don't think, listen, you don't need that. At this age, this is woof. Ellen in Madison on Sarah Palin. Hey, Ellen.
Hey, Steph. I listen to you every single morning. I try to be late for work so I can catch as
Good.
Much as possible.
Good. We encourage that, especially in this economy. I think you should be later and later to work every day for me. I kid, Ellen. All right, go ahead.
All right, I just wanted to say, you know as well as I do that Sarah Palin's in debt, and this is a really fast way to make a big buck and fuck her own ego. I really am so mad about this woman trying to undo what feminists have tried to do for 30 years.
I know. You know, Ellen, I swear to God, you know when you're on TV, you know how there's a certain, like, you're supposed to have a certain level of decorum that, for instance, you don't need on the radio where you can just, you know, fart joke away. But I thought, there's a part of me when I'm on shows like Larry King, you want to just go, she's a dope, Larry. Why are we sitting here being polite? She is a dope. I mean,
and she's an embarrassment to women.
Exactly. That's it. I think you're absolutely right, Ellen. That is what puts back feminism more than anything, is women that get in these positions that are not qualified.
Exactly. Give me Kay Bailey Hutchinson. Much as I dislike her, at least I can trust her.
Yeah, you know what?
Well,
that's true.
And you know what I thought was the most offensive thing to women, Ellen, and I said this back during the campaign, is that the assumption was if you liked Hillary, she's exactly the same thing. I mean, how insulting is that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
thing. All right.
Yeah, thank you, baby. All right. Okay, I was trying to make her a little later to work. All right. No, I shouldn't do that. Otherwise, she can't afford the podcast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. What a nice gift for the holidays.
It certainly is.
All right.
Go to StephanieMiller.com to purchase one now.
Please, won't you? All right. Let's dive in. I can't believe we were just bashing Sarah Palin for trying to make a quick buck.
Yeah. You know, but
that was a big wheel of left-wing hypocrites just then.
We don't even have a...
We don't have a thing for that.
No.
Wheel of...
Left-wing hypocrites.
Wheel.
All right. Yeah. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kid? Here we go. Oh, wow. Speaking of which, yeah, see, Glenn Beck on the radio can be even crazier and less appropriate than on the TV.
Yeah.
It's a rule. Don't ask me why. All right. Glenn Beck on the radio with the O'Reilly on the...
You were on with Dennis Miller. You two were talking about an insurrection.
Tax revolt.
He used the word insurrection, not in a comedic way.
Yeah, tax revolt. I think people, when they figure out how badly they're going to get hurt in the next few years, it's going to be a tea party on taxes, and it's going to get nasty.
Mm.
Nancy Pelosi is going to be bobbing up and down in the Boston Harbor.
Oh.
Wow.
So that would be concerning the death and flotation of Nancy Pelosi. That would be concerning turning Nancy Pelosi into a flotation device.
Yes.
In the Boston Harbor.
I think death would
what
be involved.
What the hell is he talking about? Taxes have gone down for most of us under Barack Obama.
Absolutely.
The top 1%.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Bruce Klinger.
Klinger.
Of the Heritage Foundation. Oh, dear God, I'm going to have to spend the rest of Right Wing World, aren't I, talking about...
Pretty much.
Bowgate 2009, ladies and gentlemen, is Bowgate.
Bow-chicka-bow-wow.
Are you kidding me? With all the problems we have in this country, what, it's protocol. So the president did a slight bow to the emperor of Japan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know you miss having someone chew a dinner roll with their mouth open or give a world leader an inappropriate back rub.
Or barf.
Or maybe shove your tongue in some Saudi guy's ear like George Bush used to do.
Walk down.
So French kissing him and walking, holding hands with a Saudi leader, that's...
That's fine. But
yes.
This is beyond the pale.
George Bush could have been in the Rose Garden seriously with his hands on his ankles. They would have been like, oh, well, that's fine. That's...
I'm sure he was at some point.
It's Saudi Arabia. Listen. Okay.
Even within Japanese culture, it was an excessive bow, and it plays into the image of Obama being overly obsequious during his overseas trips.
Instead of that image of the ugly American that we were so graced with for 8 years, with George Bush going overseas, did he just say the degree of the bow?
Mm-hmm.
Was this, did they slow-mo this on Fox?
Yes, they did. Oh, my God.
Did someone use a protractor to go, yeah, that's... Oh, no, that's where it became obsequious, right there. No, he was fine there, but then, you see where it goes. Oh, my goodness. I wonder if John King's going to have that up on the wall so you can see exactly the degree of the bow.
On his new nighttime show?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll ask him next time he calls. All right, 20 minutes. This is unbelievable.
Oh, there's...
Small ball?
There's more sound bites coming up regarding the Bowgate.
Small ball, anyone?
Yeah.
20 minutes. Are you embarrassed to be an American this morning?
I'm embarrassed to watch Fox News every night.
What with Bowgate and all. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The mere fact that I have a breathy voice, full of sensual lips, and a steaming hot body doesn't make me a bimbo.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sam in Providence, Rhode Island. Hello.
Hello. You know, this whole Bowgate thing is ridiculous. It's like,
yes, Bowgate 2009. Go ahead.
To paraphrase your future husband, Keith Olbermann, these guys need to stop learning their history from a Cracker Barrel menu.
Yeah.
George Washington himself preferred bowing to shaking hands to foreign heads of state because he thought it was more diplomatic and more respectful. Nixon bowed to Emperor Hirohito, the guy whose government attacked America in World War II.
Eisenhower?
I bowed to Charles de Gaulle, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and let's not talk about Bush and the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Please.
So I got to give him that.
He got some nipple action, I believe.
Woo!
Ooh, doggy.
Tongue on nipple action?
Something.
Hmm.
I don't know which base that is, but he got somewhere.
That's a base that doesn't exist in American sports.
Let's go to Daniel in Chicago on Bowgate. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Daniel. Yes, go ahead.
You know, for being a conservative, this absolutely has no substance.
You're a conservative?
I consider myself to be a conservative, and this argument has absolutely no substance.
So you agree with me. This is small ball. This is yet more small ball by the Republicans.
Yeah, and it makes me more of being a conservative wanting to shy away from the Republican Party.
Yep. I hear you. Listen, that's what I think all the time about whether, you know, my dad or Goldwater. When I was on Larry King last night talking about Sarah Palin, I thought my dad would just, I told you I got really offended because a couple of people made the comparison during the campaign to my dad, who was relatively obscure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, yeah, but he was a congressman and chairman of the Republican Party and a prosecutor at Nuremberg. He wasn't some airhead from Wasilla. But, you know, the point about her just being... But that's the other thing. Who the hell knew who she was? But until she's doing... This whole book is payback to the McCain camp? No one would have any idea who she was if it wasn't for John McCain.
That's right.
Let's go to
No Edna. Gratitude there.
Harumph. Edna in Chicago. Hey, Edna.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I had another quick note on Bowgate. I was wondering if you thought it was obsequious when President Bush was dancing in the Rose Garden with that African leader a couple years ago. Did you see that?
Actually, I thought that was just borderline racist dorky doing the...
And then,
I understand you people can dance. Watch this. Yeah.
And another quick point about Nancy Pelosi bobbing in the Boston Harbor.
Yes.
If we had said that about Denny Hester, who I'm sure would bob a whole lot more.
Oh, no, he'd sink like
You think? Pretty sure we'd all be lining up to be in that maximum security prison right now. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a good show.
Okay, thank you, honey. Yeah, actually, no, I apologize. Denny Hester would not sink. He would...
Didn't I ever tell you about Bumbles? Bumbles bounce!
Yes. He would have bounced right off. Okay, Britt Hume on the... I'm on some more Bowgate.
When the president met Queen Elizabeth, he didn't bow to her. She, of course, is the queen of the country with which we have such a special relationship. So if he's going to bow to monarchs, you'd think he'd bow to her, but he didn't bow to her. Instead, he bowed to the king of Saudi Arabia and the emperor of Japan. It's a little peculiar, and I haven't heard an explanation. I guess the White House denied he'd bowed to the king of Saudi Arabia. They don't seem to be denying this, but I'd like to hear what good it's supposed to do.
Well, let's see. Ian Kelly from the State Department, I guess, did talk about it, if you really need to know.
I think it's a natural response of the president the first time he meets the Japanese head of state to show a sign of respect.
Ah,
yeah.
That's which is clearly, by definition, French and gay.
French and gay, but the both of them.
Mm-hmm. 28 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, it's 4:30. Isn't there an early bird special you should be running off to?
33 minutes after the hour. Dow is up 24 points. Joe in L.A. on the Larry King Live last night. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I loved the show last night. That was really funny. There was a girl who was next to you in one of those little squares. She had red hair and glasses with a tie on. I don't know her name.
S.E. Cup.
Yes, her name is Sippy Cup.
Okay, every time that Sarah Palin was mentioned or they showed a picture of her, she looked like she was having a big lesbian crush and she was having an orgasm.
Little hearts and flowers shooting out of the screen.
Yeah, look at her face on the tape when you watch it. And she was just, like, giddy and moving around in her seat. And she left there a very excited young lady.
Yeah, that's the thing, Joe. I'm, like, going, do these people really in their heart think that she's qualified to be president of the United States when they go on TV to have these discussions? I mean, they really do. They go. gush, right? They're like, oh, she's just great. Oh, she can do whatever she wants. I'm like, really?
Oh, my God. It was actually I was rolling. I was hysterical laughing watching her.
Thank
you. Because it just looked like there was nothing that could have been done that would have upset her. She was just like, oh, my God, Sarah Palin. It was like a god. It was unbelievable.
Exactly. It's like her high school girl crush or something.
Yeah.
And she's so great.
Wow.
Seriously?
And the right thought Obama mania was bad. I mean, this is really awful.
I mean, seriously, I mean, people, even in their heart of hearts, I really can't believe they actually believe that she's qualified to be, that they wouldn't be terrified. I mean, come on. There's a few honest conservatives like David Brooks and even Ben Stein that I was on Larry King with on Friday. He said, in his Ben Stein way, this is just horrifying. She's a perfectly lovely woman. This is horrifying that anyone thought she was qualified to be president. I mean, you know, God bless him, right?
Yeah.
But that's the thing you do. You weigh good for America, good for comedy and entertainment. And I'm like, yes, of course I wanted to run. She'd be a disaster. But the thought of her actually... First of all, I can't believe she has any credibility left that she quit.
I know.
She quit being governor. And we're still talking about her in terms of a higher office. It's just.
And she's throwing some of the highest people.
Did you see? Wait, where is that clip? We might as well play that. Where Shano got some clips of her friend. Did you actually see the argument she was trying to put forth, Chris? She literally was saying, "Well, she was such a great governor. I mean, she got done in 2 years what most people, you know, take." What kind of rationale is that for quitting? I mean.
Which one?
Cut to one. Oh. Clip one that Shano sent us.
All right. You want to comment, Stephanie, on that? Is she ready to be president?
Was that the Evelyn Wood School of Speed Governing, whereby you get to quit halfway through and somehow that makes you a good governor? She quit Twitter, Larry. If you're a quitter, Twitter quitter, you don't have the stamina to be president. I'm sorry.
You don't think she was qualified.
And I think the latest CNN poll showed 70% of the American people don't think she's qualified. And I'm not as qualified as James Carville. I'm not married to anybody on the previous panel. But I'm just saying, the polls are the polls.
Yeah, Mary Madeline was on before before us. But, I was like, what? She's like, oh, she got so much done. Oh, I see. So then she could just quit then because her work is done here. All right. Hugh in Ashland, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Hugh.
Good morning, Stephanie. I wish you would run against Sarah Palin. I think that would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
You know, I was supposed to meet her when she was campaigning in Virginia, but I'm disabled, and I said if she wants to visit me, she was too busy, which I can appreciate. Mm-hmm. But I did send her information, and I sent similar information to the president.
Uh-huh.
He responded with a lovely letter, which can be viewed online. And it was related to the economy. Yeah, you can just you can Google Hugh777.com.
Oh, all right.
Okay, sure.
And that will bring it up, Hugh, the heartbeat of America.
All right.
And I'm calling you from the center of the universe, Virginia.
What happened with your letter to Palin?
That's what I wanted to get to. She never responded, yet the president did to the same information. So.
Well, she was too busy quitting.
Exactly. And I don't understand how why she would do that and try and stay in politics. I consider her the Paris Hilton of politics.
There you go. All right, Hugh, thank you.
Oh.
See, President Obama had time. All right, let's go to let's go to Dave in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mama. I was so upset about this Bowgate. It's so trivial.
We're back to Bowgate 2009. Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes,
I have ADD. Anyway, I missed the turnout to take my dog to daycare, so he's upset with me. But the thing I know it's a crisis. But the thing is, how trivial is this? And whatever happened in our where we talk about all people are created equal, all men created equal, whatever. The idea that bowing is from one culture the same thing as a handshake. But, you know, it's like talking the same language. If I'm only going to speak English at you, am I going to blame you because you don't understand English?
It's protocol. It's culture. Bow to my sushi chef because, you know.
You do not.
I do too. When you leave, you go, hi.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I'm very close to the guy, the place I go to sushi near
that,
me.
That sushi place you took
yes,
me to?
Yes, that place. You all know right. what I'm talking about, Dave.
Of course.
If you want the good stuff, you know what I mean? If you want the really good Toro, you got to do the...
Well, I mean, and it's appreciated. It's not fake. It's real.
Right.
That's right.
I'm honoring you for who you are as an individual. And I'm not saying that the American way of doing things is the only way of doing things. It's recognizing that we're global citizens, which is the whole message that Obama has been pushing.
Well, granted, it wasn't as dignified as when George W. Bush would get on his back and spin around like a two-year-old because people wouldn't join his war in Iraq.
Right.
But
or
still.
His father threw up in the lap of the Japanese.
Yes.
Guy, you know.
Yes. It's nothing like a, it's not as, yes, as high class as a Technicolor yawn in a world leader's lap. All right.
He's never going to live that down.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Bill Kristol said, I don't know why President Obama thought that was appropriate. Maybe he thought it would play well in Japan, but it's not appropriate for an American president to bow to a foreign one. Oh, really? Well, send a posthumous cable to Nixon and Eisenhower.
Yeah,
and,
Nixon was Bill Kristol's hero.
Donna Brazil said, I think it's a gesture of kindness, a goodwill between two nations that respect each other. An official said the president was simply observing protocol. I think those who try to politicize those things are way, way off base. Yeah, and really have entirely too much free time as well, in my opinion. Charles Krauthammer, oh, are we still back into the bow gate?
Well, that was definitely a world-class bow in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
His apologists will say, well, he was being it was protocol or politeness, but I've looked at pictures of other presidents,
oh.
vice presidents, and others, and they haven't gone halfway to the emperor's toes on the bow. I've seen pictures of MacArthur with Hirohito. He never bowed, and MacArthur wasn't even a president, although at times he thought he was.
Mm.
Not a president.
Yeah, again, it was the degree of the bow, I guess, on Fox.
Yeah, with the protractor.
Did someone bring a protractor out at some
point?
And
a compass.
Was there some fox pert there that could bring out a compass and, oh, that's where it became really bad right there.
Yeah, they just rolled Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters out. He's good for anything. He's your generic fox pert.
Did they, you know what would be cool?
What?
If they got that old sound effect from Bionic Woman. Do you know what I mean? Where it could just be like, oh, it was right there that it was too obsequious. You know what I mean? And it could be like almost like a pie chart. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they could have brought Ross Perot in with a pie chart where you can show where exactly the point where it got too obsequious. Like, here, like, this is, like, the good area, and then it gets into, you know, the red. Then there's a red area, which is too low. Okay, let's go to Brent in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, bowing, the main thing for bow etiquette is that if you lower your head below another person, that shows you're inferior to them. And so if we just look at Obama's photo, as long as he kept his head above the emperor's, then I think we're safe.
Well,
now, wait a minute. Brent, did you go to bow school? What do you mean bow etiquette? Can we learn about bow etiquette?
I taught English in Japan, and I'm 6'4", and every time I bowed, I would try to make sure I get my, head below my bosses so he didn't get offended. So the President of the United States is going to bow to somebody. That's totally acceptable as long as he doesn't bow lower than anybody else. So that just shows that he's in charge.
Well, Obama's very tall. The emperor is very short, so Obama didn't go below the emperor's head.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing, no harm, no foul.
Right.
That just shows, President of the United States is still the President of the United States, and he doesn't count out anybody.
So, Brent, once again, how low can you go?
I'm not going to go there.
All right, thank you. He knows bow etiquette. He went to bow school.
Well, he taught English in Japan. That'll teach you.
Mm-hmm. Your head can't get below what? The other person's what?
Your head can't go below the other person's head. Otherwise, you're showing that you are below that person.
See, I think it'd be fine unless they use your head as a coaster. If they put a beer on your head, then that's too low. And how low can you go? Then that's like a dog thing. It's like an alpha, Okay, 43 minutes. So if the Japanese, if the emperor, Chris, had put a cup of sake on the president's head.
Warm sake.
Yes. Then we would have known that was too low.
It would have been warm and delicious.
43 minutes after the hour. Hi. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
this Twitter thing.
I just tweeted.
Yeah, and I've always like, should I sign it, Love Mama? And I'm like, no they know it's you, you idiot.
Yeah, there's a big picture of you right next to your tweet. So you don't need to.
I said I'm no Twitter quitter like Caribou Barbie. Hello, my tweets. I did want to say Love Mama, but then you're like, idiot, they know. That's the point of tweeting.
It's short and sweet.
You know, I'm used to writing the old-fashioned way and with my quill.
All right. And your inkwell.
My inkwell and my quill. 48 minutes after the hour.
Oh, Lord.
So sad. Oh, by the way.
What?
I had to explain to my 86-year-old Republican mother about the Stephanie Miller show going by November 30th.
I'm sure that was quite a conversation.
Yes, bi-coastal.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, as we mentioned, we've been bi-curious for a while. I will be in New York. Mooks will be here in L.A., but imagine how long that took to explain the technology. Oh dear God. Oh, Mom, well, there's wires. And you see there's a microphone, and you can talk into it anywhere. Oh, dear. Well, I think she thinks you guys will just evaporate into midair, that you may spontaneously combust or something. And I said, no. They're... And then sometimes I'll be there in L.A., but sometimes I'll be... See, she thinks that I think I go to each city during the commercial break so that I'm actually, like, in Seattle and Buffalo and whatever in Chicago. I'm like, yes, see, I'm not in any of those cities either, but they can hear me.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, she was around when radio was invented, right?
Where's my nostalgia music, though? You and I, being the old radio geeks that we are, I've been in the business, 25 years?
Uh-huh. And
we were remembering the day when not only did we... Hey, kids, pull up a chair! We had to edit tape with a razor blade.
Yes.
With a razor blade.
And a China marker.
And then you had to mail the commercials and things.
We were talking about that yesterday.
And the promos to other cities. We'll mail that to you. Now, what with the MP3s and the Twitters and the internets, my goodness, it's all magic.
Now we have to worry about bitrate. But you don't.
Whatever. I had to explain Skype to my mother. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, well, there's video feeds in the computer, Mama. We can see each other just like when we're there.
It's like a video telephone on the Jetsons.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, Steffi. I don't understand.
Yeah, because we're going to need to see each other, so we're going to Skype it.
Yes, because I need to give you the finger, and I need to hold signs up to tell Jim I'm not wearing any pants.
You're not going to be able to throw a stapler at me anymore.
Bruce and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. Hey, I just wanted to say I'm so glad you were on Larry King last night because only your beauty can cleanse the weirdness that is Mary Madeline and James Carville from my mind.
Yeah, and every time they're on, you're just like, what's that all about?
Yeah.
And if I can steal a line from The Onion, Essie Cupp looks like she could snap a sex toy in half with her hoo-ha.
Oh, dear. Oh, we're getting catty, aren't we?
Yes, that was hilarious. Okay.
I love The Onion.
Let's go to Rich in Milwaukee on Caribou Barbie. Hello, Rich. Oh, wait, I did the wrong thing with the button there. Hi, Rich.
How long have you been in radio?
Oh, shut up. Hi, Rich.
Hello. Yeah, I thought it was pretty amazing that she comes across, like you guys were all saying, that she's a, backwoods kind of girl and pity me and all that kind of stuff. And like David Gergen said later on Larry King that she stands to make about $10 million on this book.
Nice.
And probably go around, probably on the lecture tour. Can you imagine that? Going to a Sarah Palin lecture?
But, you know, Rich, it's interesting because I think, you know, I've heard some Republicans say this as well, that this is just not attractive, is it? Just writing a payback book to make money? What does that do for you?
Well, what was really strange is to see somebody like Mary Madeline actually, like, you know, giving her credibility.
I know.
That just blows my mind. And they're actually, they're going right into the trap that Gergen and the Democrats are laying for them because they're saying, she's going to be a major force in the Republican Party.
Right. Did you see? Nobody seemed happier than James Carville last night. Exactly. Oh, no. I say she's going to be a big force. She's going to be a big force in the Republican Party. Absolutely.
They're taking the bait.
Exactly. He was almost giddy last night.
I hope so.
Oh, and by the way, it also has given the McCain camp an opportunity to load the liar cannon against her. And said she's essentially...
You're a lying sack of crap.
They said her book is self-serving fiction. The campaign manager, Steve Schmidt, said it's all fiction. Former McCain strategist John Weaver said the book is petty and pathetic score settling. He said, Sarah Palin reminds me of Jimmy Stewart in the movie Harvey, complete with imaginary conversations. All books like these are revisionist and self-serving by definition, but the score settling by someone who wants to be considered a serious national player is petty and pathetic. I agree.
Yep.
The problem wasn't who her interview was with. The problem was her interview. Couric asked no trick questions. Even they could admit that. Another longtime McCain aide, Mark Salter, told Politico in an email that it does not line up with his memory of events.
You lie! Stop lying!
I do not believe your lies.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Oh, God, we've been off Bowgate for nearly 45 seconds now.
Holy crap.
Okay, back to right-wing world. All right.
The bow did not just display weakness in red state terms, but evoked weakness in Japanese terms. The last thing the Japanese want or need is a weak-looking American president. Now, wasn't this the president elected to restore our alliances and repair our image abroad? Well, now he's embarrassed the U.S. and one of our allies, and he did it all at the same time. Well, that takes real effort.
Ah. So I see, getting us into an unnecessary war and giving an unnecessary back rub.
Yeah.
Those things are much better for, I see. So I see, now we're embarrassed. The country. By the way, did you see Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, on Meet the Press this weekend? I mean, she was saying she's been in how many, like a zillion countries, obviously, right, in the last few months. And she said, I can't begin to tell you how much damage was done around the world by the previous administration. She might know. Co-host Steve Ducey of the Cluster Fox, he claimed that there's a long-standing precedent going back to the founding that American presidents don't bow to anybody. Ooh, he might want to mention that to President Eisenhower and President Nixon on the Heavenly Hotline if he ever...
President Washington?
Is that in the etiquette book, shoving your tongue in a Saudi leader's ear like George Bush did? Is that in there, technically, in terms of
walking down a rose-covered lane?
That seems like that is without precedent.
Yeah.
Okay, Hannity on the
trial. This trial, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, which I think in many, many ways is going to be disastrous. I think we're really going to end up putting American intelligence on trial, the Bush administration on trial.
Yep.
We're going to telegraph to all our enemies, you know, what our strategies are. We're weakening America in the process, and there's no reason to do this when we have military tribunals available to us.
Yeah, some unfortunate things might come out in those trials about...
Stuff.
It's two war criminals in one, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and George Bush. Okay, O'Reilly on the elements in the Obama administration.
Certain elements in the Obama administration, perhaps the president himself, wants to put Bush-Cheney on trial.
Okay.
They want to put the CIA on trial. Mm-hmm. They want to put waterboarding on trial.
Oh, okay.
They want to do all of that and, you know, divert attention away from the problems they're having by having this big circus trial and, you know, humiliating the opposition.
Good. I say good. In this economy, two for one for taxpayers.
Yep.
We get to try the Bush war criminals and the people behind 9/11. Done.
Bully.
Bully. Bully on you, President Obama. All right. That concludes the right-wing world. Let's go to Mark in Indiana on Bowgate. I'm running out of steam on this Bowgate. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Love your show.
Thank you.
It's phenomenal. I love listening. You're so full of energy.
Thank you. Two things.
One, I want to bring up the bow thing. Okay, when I was in elementary school back in 65, 66, when we square danced in school, we bowed to our partners. I didn't think that was so spooky.
That's right.
You are always French and gay and a do-si-doer on top of it.
You always bow before you do-si-do.
57 minutes after the hour. Back with Charlie Pierce and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
After the hour, the Dow is down 23 points. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, including Jim Ward, trademark Stephanie Miller, brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever, ever on a Saturn with a $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer today.
Nice.
Won't you? Nice. Nice.
Yeah, those are some great deals.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all. Their executive producer, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Emmy award-winning voice deity.
That's me.
Trademark Stephanie Miller.
You're trademarking his Emmy?
I'm trademarking everything about him.
Get it while you can.
Jenny Sanford tried to trademark her name. Did you see that? Governor Mark Sanford's lovely wife?
Hmm.
The ball and chain, the one he's trying to fall back in love with, not the soulmate.
Right.
The other one.
Yeah.
So she had a little R by her name?
Trademark. Well, because you remember, it is a little strange. She had applied for a trademark after her husband admitted to the affair.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that Team Jenny stuff became popping up on Cafe Press and stuff.
Yep. Might as well cash in.
That's not the first thing I'd think of. My husband's been banging a woman in Argentina. I think I'll make some mugs. Wouldn't be the first thing that would come to mind. StephanieMiller.com.
Trademark the Appalachian Trail.
You can live blog with us. You can tweet me, or you can go to the YouTube section and see Mama on the Larry King Live last night on the Sarah Palin.
I think it's an unfortunate choice of words to have to say he came up again on the week that he's doing a nude photo layout. However, I think that the thing that people objected to with Sarah Palin was the sort of lecturing other people about family values when, you know, I'm sorry, but this whole display, you know, she's someone that preached against abstinence, education in the schools. And I think that's really more of the issue to most people is the hypocrisy.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not the act, it's the hypocrisy.
Oh, by the way, I did get to talk to the Lair, Jim, about the Carrie Fisher. I told him, best television ever. I got a few details. I said, okay, so where? I said, was she sitting right here? And he said, no, she was in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I just asked her a question. I'm like, I know, Larry. I know.
That was awesome television.
Oh, yeah.
And it went all over the YouTube.
I just asked her the same questions everyone asked. I just said, you know.
And then the long shot of her sitting at the table by herself looking over at her advisors.
Pouting.
Yeah. Is this where I do it? Is this where I do the spontaneous taking off the microphone and storming off?
So badly done.
Is Larry aware of how much of a YouTube sensation that was?
Oh, he told me. Oh, he told me.
Can we fix this in post?
He goes, it got how many hits to get something?
A zillion.
Yeah. He's like, got 3 million hits on YouTube. I'm like, I know, Larry.
For
best television ever.
Yeah.
Larry was on fire last night. He was telling me jokes during the commercial break.
Yeah. Like old Catskill jokes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Give me some comedy music. Oh, yeah. This is because sometimes he sings show tunes to me in hair and makeup, as you know.
Yes.
But last night I sat down, and he goes, so a guy goes into a doctor's office. Swear to God, it's the first thing he says.
Oh, no.
It is like being in the Catskill. I can't remember the exact. I'm not good at jokes, but let's see. Doctor says I got some
good news and bad news.
Yeah, something like that. Jim knows the setups better than I do.
Yeah.
you got cancer, and the guy goes, oh no, that's awful.
And you got Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and you got Alzheimer's.
Well,
and the guy goes, well, at least I'm on cancer.
Yeah,
see, so that was Larry jokes.
So you have bad news and bad news.
Yeah, bad news. I got bad news and bad news. Yeah, I screwed it up anyway.
Wow,
and it's funnier in the Larry King voice. Thank God I don't have cancer. Okay, that was... yeah, all right. And then, somebody, because Liz Cheney floated the idea of her dad running for...
president.
Yeah. For president, I think they wanted Larry to cover that. In his ear, they were talking to him, and he's like, he's not running for president. He has 7 kinds of heart disease. I'm not doing that. He's not running. All right. Anyway, so let's see, who is this? Richard writes, Steph, has anyone covered the fact that Wikipedia now identifies you as Stephanie Louise Miller? I did not know that. That's not my middle name.
No, what is Catherine?
Just what you call me when I, yes, Stephanie Catherine Miller.
Yes.
That comes from the Lucy episode where...
She yells at Ethel.
Ethel Louise
Mertz. Ethel Louise Mertz.
Yes, okay.
Yes, and that's where the middle name Louise came
yes,
from.
Yes, it's all of our middle names.
That's right.
It's
my mom's middle name.
Jim Louise Ward. Oh, Richard sends me a quote. Jim, who said, I believe children are the future unless we stop them now?
Kim Kardashian.
That's a good guess, but I don't know. It doesn't say who, but he sent Richard. We'll just say Richard wrote it.
Okay, sure.
Funny. All right. So let's see. Lots to get to. Jim, have you checked in on Bowgate 2000?
Yes. Nine. Well, actually, I have to say that he did bow too far.
Was a bit of a deep bow.
If you read Shogun or ever took a karate class, you know there's a.
I'm like based my knowledge last hour on my sushi place.
And the guy looked very surprised that he bowed so low. I said, oh well, thank you very much.
Because he didn't go below his head though.
Still, but also very tall. So,
I think the etiquette, Jim, is if he had put a cup of sake on his head, that would have been too.
Well, at least he didn't throw up on him. There's that.
That's
embarrassing and gross. That was George Senior, you recall.
Yeah.
You're supposed to bow commensurate with your standing, and he went a little too low. It was a little grovelly in Japanese terms, but you know he made the effort.
Okay. All right. You know, you brought up the Kardashians. Can I have my show business news? We might as well get to it.
No, I
have a big celebutard stack, Jim. Interesting you should mention. Paris Hilton wants to destroy the Kardashians.
It's like Mothra and Godzilla. Except there's like seven Kardashians.
Is it me? Are there no real celebrities anymore? There's only celebutards now.
Yeah.
They're really... This is on superficial.com. Paris Hilton is pissed. That the Kardashians rode her admittedly roomy labia to stardom and now make more money than she does.
Oh.
She used to command $100,000 for club appearances, but now Kim is the hottest girl, and they aren't friends anymore.
Yawn.
Superficial writes, of course, there's an easier way to settle this. Everyone involved in this story kills themselves, and whoever disrupts the most CNN coverage wins. Ready to go.
Ready to go.
No.
I was telling Jim that the episode of the wedding episode of Keeping Up the Kardashians doubled the ratings of the season finale of Mad Men.
God,
which
stupid country.
Which is like,
sad.
God.
See, it makes me happy I go to bed at 4:30. I don't watch any of this. John Gosselin, it's like a phone book, this celebutard stack today. John Gosselin has filed a counter lawsuit against the TLC network claiming television producers violate Pennsylvania's child labor laws. See, now he's really, it's all about the children. Now he's concerned that his children might have been, Okay, the suit seeking more than $5 million in damages.
Yeah.
Somebody please think of the children.
Good luck with that.
You put your kids on television. It's like the balloon dad going, oh my God.
How dare you film my balloon and imply that my son was in there. I'll take
$1 million. You traumatize my child, you boobs. Okay, this
Look at me. What are you looking at?
This may be the saddest part of the celebutard stack. Heidi and Spencer, who I only know because they were on a show with Frangela. I don't really know. From the reality show The Hills?
Yes.
And you're with...
Yes, they want to branch out from The Hills and star in their own reality show to give the viewers a bigger peek into their lives. So the current reality show they're on is not quite invasive enough. They need a reality show with a little more reality.
It's not a reality show.
Because we need to know a little more about... Apparently we need like slow motion of their bowel movements or something that would be a little more invasive.
God.
In an interview to promote their new book, How to Be Famous, Our Guide to Looking the Part, Playing the Press, and Becoming a Tabloid Fixture.
Wow.
They say that
That's a goal for some people?
Yes, that's what this whole thing is about.
Good God.
See,
how about
Jim
actually
Ward,
having some talent?
See, Jim Ward, this is a stupid country,
some
part
creativity.
One.
Creativity. How about, you know, people writing things, actors perform with professional lighting and, that's so old school.
A bitter old grumpy over
there. I know.
Who else was starring in Grumpy Old Men Part 3?
I like a few reality shows. You know. Amazing Race is
Good.
It's a really good show.
Because that was, you know, all about the locations.
Yeah.
Heidi and Spencer say while The Hills only focuses on a small part of their lives, their own show would reveal everything that happens to them. Which is, that's what we need more of. Who wants to know everything that happens to anybody? Life is boring, mostly. All right, I'm just thinking about my life, but still.
Well, there's no way they could do a reality show of your life.
Here I am fishing another dog hair off bottom off my tongue.
Here I am having dinner at 3 o'clock.
Here I am eating Cheerios while watching Chris Matthews.
Somebody bitched at me for not tweeting enough. I'm like, what do I have to tweet about?
The early bird special is too late for you.
Hardball's done now. Okay, time to pour another glass of wine.
Yeah.
I have such a sad little life. Oh, I really do. Okay. I got to vote the dogs again. Okay. Lindsay Lohan, I'm sorry, Jim. It's the last celebutard.
Merry Christmas.
The superficial.com. You know what is sad? You think I have a sad life? When people ask you to pay for things, well, you're a celebrity.
Do you pay for that sushi place that you go to in
Yes, I need to pay for things.
You do?
Hi.
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 Even
Hi.
When you do that, they make you pay.
Hi.
Hi.
Wow. People magazine reports Lindsay stormed into the kitchen of a restaurant and grabbed two bottles of really expensive champagne. She finished both bottles with a friend. When the bartender gave her a bill, she had a meltdown.
Don't you know who I think I used to be?
She was yelling at him and screaming profanities at everyone. The bar insisted she pay, so she had to call a friend with her credit card information.
Oh, my God.
I guess she's like the queen. She doesn't travel with money. Someone else has that sort of information.
Wow.
I don't know.
She used to be very talented.
The actress left the club around 2:30. She was crying and wanted to go home. She kept saying, I don't pay for drinks. This is ridiculous. I'm freaking out.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, D, I'm outie.
But she used to be an actual actress, you know, apart from...
She is actually very talented.
Mad fellatio skills, but, you know, that, allegedly.
Who, Lindsay Lohan? Lindsay Lohan used to be a talented actress?
Yes.
She is a very good actress.
She was the worst part of Mean Girls.
Oh, I'm not talking about Mean Girls. I'm talking about the Parent Trap.
Oh.
When she played when she was a kid.
Did less drugs. Allegedly.
Oh, well,
what?
That gave me a segue to this story,
okay,
then. Amy Winehouse reportedly wants a new nose.
Because she's used the old one up.
Yeah.
What could be wrong?
What happened to all that cartilage?
It's like magic. It's gone.
She's been to Michael Jackson's face guy? Or
She recently spent about $60,000 to have her boobuses... boosted, as you know. She's now planning a surgery to fix her witch-like nose. Sure, that's it.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yes,
it's not cocaine. It's witchy. It's witchcraft. Now that she has beaten drugs, according to a source, plastic surgery has become her next obsession. That's what their source is saying. Okay, whatever.
Whatever.
Have you seen pictures of her new boobuses? They're enormous.
I don't know. There are shades of Michael Jackson in this story. This is.
They're two gigantic bumps on a stick figure. Seriously.
I saw another original picture of Michael Jackson today. He was such a handsome guy. He was a good-looking, normal guy.
Back,
right?
Back when he did The Wiz,
yes. Yes. Okay. Tom Cruise wants Katie Holmes to play the villain in the next Mission Impossible movie. Won't that be great? Because they can spend more time together. That'll be awesome.
Help me. Help me.
Because she's out of his sight sometimes for 40 to 50 seconds a day.
I can watch her 24/7. Keep my eye on her. Make sure nobody looks at her. This is great.
And they could use the costumes they wear to spice up their already sexy sex life. Okay.
Well, they have a kid.
20 minutes after the hour.
Boy.
Okay. Back with more of a Bowgate and other nonsense as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Stephanie. Chris, I have a suggestion for you.
What?
If you were to move out east, your schedule for work would change a lot, and you would not have to go to bed at insane o'clock and get up at stupid o'clock.
Oh, he doesn't care. He's a chirpy morning person anyway.
I am a morning person, so while this schedule can be inconvenient for a social life, I don't mind it.
And if you live together, your cost of living would be much, much reduced.
I am not living with Stephanie Miller.
Mama.
No.
You know I need someone to change the bathwater when I have an accident.
Oh, God, that would be my worst nightmare.
Tell you one thing I won't miss, Jim.
Hmm?
You know, when we hook up through Denver, that's where we're, our syndicator does the...
the satellite.
Yeah.
Good morning, Denver.
Yes, every morning, Jim and I. Jim, you don't have to hear because you get to come in an hour later, and I'll be in New York, so I don't have to hear it. Good morning, Denver!
I get the weather update from Denver every
morning,
day.
Morning, people. Who likes them? Nobody. Let's
Denver got snow the other day.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, buddy.
Hey, Steph, I got two things. Number one, on this Bowgate.
Yes. Oh, pardon me. Rebecca Bowgate, 2001.
What a crock. The French kiss each other on two cheeks. We shake hands. It's a custom. It's nothing more than to have a president we can actually be proud of.
And if, if you're George Bush, you French kiss a Saudi leader and hold hands.
And if you're George Sr., you throw up on
in Japanese a manly way. Yes, leader, so. But it's manly.
No, but he did bow a little too far. That was, you know.
Jim Ward is with the protractor. He's with the Fox protractor.
No, I mean, it's, you know, it means something in Japan. So, anyway.
All right. Yeah, it's, wow. You know some of the stuff we make fun of, but stuff that's, you know, French and gay and not manly enough for the far right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a...
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay.
Far right columnist Mark Shields.
Who's that?
I don't know. He's a far-right columnist.
Okay.
He scoffed at Obama's upcoming his demeanor on the upcoming decision on Afghanistan, wishing instead for a manly man in the White House. I think it makes me nostalgic for those days when we had manly men in the White House who would say, let's kick some tail and ask questions afterwards, you know? That's what we really need instead of any reflection.
Like a rock. Yeah.
I'm a lumberjack.
Well, apparently,
why don't you talk to
like
the families of
make.
The thousands of dead soldiers who died for no reason?
Exactly.
Or how about the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of Iraqis who were displaced or killed
of it? Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you talk to the Christian community in Iraq? Oh, wait, they're all gone. They moved to Syria or were killed.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a joke we would make.
Yeah.
Like, reflection is French and gay, and they just come out and say it. Mm-hmm. We don't want reflection.
We have to strike down, annihilate, kill, kill, kill.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the terror trials. Hello, John.
Hey, Steph, how's it going?
Good.
Really quick, here in Illinois, of course, you know, the federal government is looking into buying a prison.
Yes.
This morning on the local Fox affiliate, one of their anchor people needs to speak to doing the news and not so much doing interviews. She asked Dick Durbin the most dumb question I've ever heard a reporter ask someone with regard to this issue.
What's that?
She asked Dick Durbin, so why don't we just put this on a referendum and give it to the voters to vote on it? My point is, since when is it in the purview of the voters to determine how justice is handed out in the United States? I thought that that was a settled issue, you know, with, the Constitution.
Yeah. By the way, as conservatives continue to fearmonger over the Gitmo closure, the Illinois town there says it would welcome the detainees.
Absolutely.
And the jobs that would bring. Mm-hmm. Dick Durbin.
So President Obama has given us this opportunity, and it's an opportunity we should seize, and I hope that we're successful in this competition.
And the one of the right-wing tools there, Illinois State Representative Judy, her name is not Bigot.
I could say we've become the laughing stock of the nation because of our corruption. Now we're going to be the dumping ground for dangerous criminals. And why? Because we need money.
Hi, I'm Judy Bigot. What? Her name's Judy Bigot.
Her name is Judy Bigot.
Okay.
Maybe it's pronounced Bigot, but that would be French.
Sure. And gay.
Yeah.
28 minutes after the hour. Back.
B-I-G-G-E-T-T. I don't think there's any mispronouncing that.
Humorous Charlie Pierce is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Here we go.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, those are some broad shoulders. Okay, I guess small boobs are good for swimming.
33 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 15 points. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce, humorist extraordinaire, author of Idiot America. Good morning, sir.
Hi, guys. Now they're making balcony jokes at you.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, have you seen her?
Oh, please.
Holy crap.
Charlie, that's not important.
You can't even pick her up on NORAD. Go ahead.
Oh, Charlie Pierce. For God's sake, you've been on for nearly 19 seconds, and we haven't talked about Bowgate 2009.
Oh,
did the president bow too low to the
The argument has morphed, apparently, from... He shouldn't have bowed. American presidents don't bow. And then 9 bazillion pictures of other U.S. presidents bowing showed up.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, he bowed too low.
Yes, well, that's what right-wing tool Jim Ward said.
It does make a difference in Japan.
I guess it does. But do I feel like less of an American that my president bowed to, you know, the emperor of Japan?
Yeah, we, I was
a
just...
largely honorary position since 1945.
Yeah, exactly. But this is all the Republicans have got, right? I mean, literally, that's what we're saying. Are they busting out a protractor? Was there a certain point at which it became too obsequious?
They also have dampening their deities over Khalid Sheikh Mohammed going to trial. That's another thing they have going
dear
for.
God.
But the bowing thing, this one I don't get, considering that our previous president, used to kiss the sheikhs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He used to kiss the sheikhs on both sheikhs.
I don't know if that was second base or it was...
And metaphorically on another set of sheikhs.
Charlie, what... the terror trials. Maybe I'm confused, but this is not a declared war. This is not an army. These are terrorists. What? I don't understand what the argument even is.
Well, apparently they have super Marvel Comics terrorist powers that will enable them to melt the bars of the courtroom. The people I like most in this are the people in Illinois who realize they built this horrible empty white elephant of a prison and saying, come on down.
Yeah, they're suddenly like Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you.
Put them in here, really. We got room. They won't even have to double up, honest to God.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Holiday Express of dungeons.
I mean, I don't get the contradiction to you that, first of all, Rudy Giuliani was cheering on when they convicted Massawi and, after
the
93 bombing.
He was also cheering on when they convicted the guys who bombed the World Trade Center the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Who are, as far as I know, still in federal, buried like a root vegetable prison somewhere in Colorado.
So that's what I'm saying. It's better to, approach this in a war sense like the Bush administration did and let them go like they did at Tora Bora.
Let them go or just forget them in Cuba.
Yeah.
Cuba.
I don't really think much about them anymore. I know.
But, yeah, that's right. No, I don't get this either. And to be fair, and we always try to be fair here on the Stephanie Miller Show, I don't really know what Holder's doing either, because I don't know why some of the guys are going before the tribunals and some guys aren't.
Well,
that hasn't been explained to me yet. Oh, a decent reason why they're not all going to federal court.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I mean, obviously, we were saying these are clearly the slam dunk cases. I think there hasn't been a lot of publicity about all the people that the Bush administration has had to let go from Gitmo.
That's the thing. You know, the one thing I think is, I believe the ones that are going to federal court are the ones they think they can get a conviction without talking about all the nasty stuff that we did to these folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the ones that are going to military tribunals are the ones they're less sure of about that. So I think, from the standpoint of the deity dampening right, nothing's going to be revealed in these trials because these are guys that are going to be able to convict without all that stuff.
Mm, yeah,
but,
that's a disappointment to me.
People who believe that outside of the Marvel Comics super terrorist powers, that the most powerful organization in America is the ACLU. Does anybody honestly think that this guy's going to get acquitted?
Yeah, I know. I love that he could get off on a technicality, or there's something. It's like, what? No.
The judge gets really drunk.
yeah, exactly. Well, we still have Rudy Giuliani talking about this in terms of a war. Let's take a listen to this. Rudy Giuliani.
It seems to me what the Obama administration is telling us loud and clear is that both in substance and reality, the war on terror from their point of view is over.
It's really a war on words, isn't it? On the right wing, it's like.
Hey, I'm still committed to the war on terror, and I think as soon as we arrest this terror and we can put it in the dock and in an orange jumpsuit, I'm all for putting it on trial and killing it.
Well, that's the thing. They're so hung up on words. It's like, from Fort Hood, you have to call it terrorism the day it happens. It's like, no, what we have to do is stop it from happening again.
I'm going to take seriously the criticism of a guy who thought the best response to the first time the World Trade Center got bombed was to put the Emergency Response Center in the World Trade Center, and then later thought that the one guy who could keep us safe was Bernie Carrick.
Yeah, that kind of judgment. Senator Pat Leahy on the terror trial.
We're the most powerful nation on earth. We have a judicial system that's the envy of the world. Let's show the world that we can use our power.
I thought the Republicans were all about the law and order and the death penalty.
Yeah, the envy of the world, except for those death penalty lawyers in Texas who fall asleep. But what are we not talking about that anyway?
Let's not talk about that now.
You love Vermont, don't you?
Yeah.
What is the deal with Vermont? Does Vermont have there's a Ben and Jerry's factory and Vermont teddy bear and decent politicians? They all get turned out on a little assembly line.
Yes.
And meanwhile, over in New Hampshire, the beanies, the propellers and the beanies are spinning.
Speaking of beanie propellers, Sarah Palin's new book is out.
Is she back? Have you read the book? No, I don't speak gibberish. I haven't read the book. I probably will get around to reading the book, I'm sure. Strangely, my autographed copy from Sarah has not arrived in the mail. It must have blown off the porch. it's apparently a massive act of score settling.
Yep.
And I have to say that, you know, I'm not overly sympathetic to the McCain people who are now complaining.
Yeah.
You picked this woman. I mean, come on. It's a little bit late now to decide that maybe she wasn't up to the job of, you know, I don't know, being a serious human being.
Yeah, and they also had the judgment to think apparently the Kirk interview was really good. Well, you've done good, Sarah.
Well, she says they thought she had done good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not admitting that they thought it went well.
I don't know.
Kirk must sit back, you know, at night with a large glass of cognac and just laugh.
Laugh her ass off. Yeah, she was asked, Oprah asked Palin if she was prepared for the interview with Kirk, and she said not so much, but it was supposed to be a lighthearted thing. You're running for Vice President of the United States. This isn't a cooking segment.
Hey, Foof, the camera's on. You're supposed to know what you're supposed to talk about.
She said I was annoyed by her badgering.
Badgering?
What do you read?
I always thought Katie is more of a chipmunk than a badger.
Yeah.
Now, Andrea Mitchell, on the other hand, now you're talking badger.
I love this. Palin indicated that she was offended when Kirk asked her what newspapers and magazines she reads, saying that she took the question in the context of, do you read? No, I think
apparently
she was
not.
Pretty clear about saying, what kinds of things do you read? We're curious, you know?
All of them.
So, wait a minute, she's accusing Katie of like, insufficient setup.
The first question
should have been, I'm sorry, Governor Palin, do you read?
Yeah.
And if so, which newspapers do you read?
Yeah, exactly.
And to the life of me, she couldn't come up on the spot with the Anchorage Daily News. I know a newspaper in Alaska.
Yeah.
She's only doing the crossword puzzle every morning.
Oh, my God.
What's that thing I go to see Marmaduke every morning? Oh, the Anchorage Daily News. That's
right. Oh, that Marmaduke. There he is on the couch again.
I know you're a big fan of big dog humor.
Yes,
as you can imagine. But, yeah, we were saying, I was on Larry King talking about this last night. It just is amazing.
Oh, Stephanie.
Hello.
But, you know, it's this whole, like, victimhood that she's such a victim. Last night somebody was talking about, they sexualized her. I'm like, she sexualized herself. Who the hell winks during a vice presidential debate?
Well, this was the, you know, and God love them, you know. I don't want any publication to fold, but could Newsweek be floundering anymore? I mean, I feel like they look like one of those bodies at the end of Titanic that are sort of floating in the water. This one's dead. Move on.
They cop
the Runner's World photo to run on the cover. Here's another picture.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That leggy picture. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. But you know what I'm saying? It's like this whole victimhood thing, and it's because she's a woman and they're sexual. It's like she's the one that's like posing for this stuff. It wasn't Photoshop. She's the one doing the winking and all the and then they get offended. When people mention her looks, you know.
Well, I think they should have had, you know, Rich Lowry on to talk about the starbursts in his eyes. Do you remember the famous starbursts?
Yes.
There are other jokes to be made with that, but we'll move on.
Yes, all the right-wing men that have a John Boner for Sarah Palin.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Hey.
What? I don't know.
Funny, nobody ever says they have an Eric Cantor for anybody.
No.
John Boner.
All right, Charlie Pierce, who I have a
John Boner.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I didn't think that was possible.
Charlie, see you next week. Thanks, honey.
See you, kiddo.
There he goes. Charlie Pierce. Our favorite.
He called you kiddo.
Kiddo. I love that. 23 Skidoo.
You're the bee's knees.
43 minutes after the hour.
Cat's pajamas.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Seven minutes after the hour. Oh, we've been off Bowgate for almost 2 minutes now.
Oh, my God.
Thank
time
God
to move
for
to Sterngate.
Bowgate!
This is, of course, what they are calling in Washington, D.C., Bowgate.
Bow, wow, wow, you.
The Bow.
Wow.
President Obama in front of the Emperor of Japan. We'll analyze.
Obama bends at the waist.
Some have labeled the bow, how low can you go?
Was it inappropriate?
Is the roll up over the bow fair?
On one hand, I'm amused. I love it. I think people take it as a metaphor for his approach to the rest of the world, which is one of deference.
Wow, wow, wow. I think it's a natural response of the president, the first time he meets the Japanese head of state, to show a sign of respect.
Tom and Madison are here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mooks.
Hey.
This is your automotive gay carpet hauler.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
I got one.
You wouldn't think you would touch carpet, but okay.
Okay.
Hey.
What? Go ahead, Tom.
All right. There's one thing I got to say about the bow gate. Is I was stationed in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was stationed there, they taught us how to bow. Now, when you bow at the waist, because you're supposed to bend at your waist, you're supposed to meet eye to eye to the other person across from you.
Yes.
Yes. That's how you're supposed to do that, direct respect. Mm-hmm. So them taking out a protractor or a compass or whatever, they need to be shot in the butt.
Yeah, well, the president, we were saying, is very tall, and obviously the emperor is short, so I would imagine that the mechanics of it change.
What's right. That? You would have to bend lower. But he would still see eye to eye, because that's what he was told.
All right. Okay. Well, thank God we can move on with our lives now for a moment. Phew. Sue in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Oh, hey, Steph. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I have to ask you something. That gal that was on Larry King last night,
yes.
The one that looked like a stripper, was her name C-Cup?
her name is Sippy Cup.
S-E Cup is her name.
Oh, I didn't know if that she's was one of, like, play on C Cup.
She's one of the singing group, Sippy Cups.
She did look like she had on one of those Britney Spears naughty Catholic schoolgirl outfits.
Oh, yeah, Patrick wrote me about this. Steph, that other guest, nice to see Sarah has inspired that porno librarian look. Who was that crack whore? Oh, Patrick,
no.
We have no evidence that she is a whore of a... crack or any other substance.
Or for crack, maybe.
No, we don't know that.
Okay.
The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes.
Do we?
I guess. Roger in Asheville, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Terror Tries. Hello, Roger.
Right-wing male from Asheville.
Hello, right-wing male.
Oh, hello, Stephanie. Hello. Y'all are really giving Sarah Palin a lot of advertisement. We appreciate that. She's a good lady, and we'll be a statesman one day.
You're welcome.
Hold it. Okay. Give me a break here.
All right.
I'm trying to talk.
All right.
The bowing thing, the guy was right about bowing, but did you notice that the person from Japan, he didn't bow, therefore he's not respecting our president. That's where we're at with this president. This president has sold us out. Lock, stock, and barrel. I got news for you.
Mm.
Conservatism is coming back, and shows like yours, just nasty, talking, putting down people, they're going off the air. Y'all are making fun.
Uh-huh.
Listen, y'all are making fun of the people that were killed at 9/11. They're bringing back the murders next to them. What is
I was making fun
child?
Of the people that died in 9...
Yeah, you are. What if somebody killed your child two doors down from you, and they brought them back to try them down two doors down from you?
They often try them in the same town,
they
Roger.
They usually tried in the same place where you committed the crime. That's the way our justice is.
Called a jury of your peers.
They're terrorists, and y'all have forgotten it.
I have. Really? I'd like them tried and convicted.
Yeah, they're terrorists, and this nation is not as safe as it was under George Bush. We were safe then.
It happened under George Bush.
Yes.
How did he keep us safe? It happened under George Bush.
He had enough balls to declare war. This guy here.
Against the wrong guy.
He never declared war, Roger.
Hey, listen. Listen.
Saddam
Obama,
Hussein had nothing
Obama
to do with it.
Obama is a gelding. Obama is a gelding.
Roger. A gelding. Roger, how did Bush keep us safe when this happened on his watch?
He declared war on those that hit the towers and sent our good service.
Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with it.
To tell those folks, look,
Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with it.
Now we're letting them come and play in our backyard.
Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with it.
Nation, and it's turning back around, and conservatism is coming.
You attacked the wrong
Roger,
guy.
Roger, do you think Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11?
I think he had a lot to do with it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and kidnapping the Lindbergh baby, too.
Right. What are you basing that on?
I believe that any Muslim that has this terrorist potential
for
them.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. Yeah, let's accept them now. Let's bring them right on in. Let's set them and let's let our kids play with them. And they're walking right among
us. You think every Muslim was behind?
Hey, what about Fort Hood? What about Fort Hood?
They're all the Muslims.
That was a workplace shooting, Roger.
Oh, come on. That was a military base where we're supposed to be safe. And that's
so, Roger, is every Muslim a terrorist, essentially?
Most Muslims, I believe all Muslims are wrong because they worship the wrong God, but they're not
all
terrorists.
It's the same God.
They're not all terrorists. But most of them are.
They're saying this guy heard Allah Akbar. The word Allah Akbar is not God is good. It means Allah is good, and that's not the Jehovah.
Allah is the same. It's the same God that we worship.
Islam is the youngest of the monotheistic religions, the Abrahamic religions, if you will. Descended from Abraham.
It's not Allah. Ibrahim. It's Jehovah God. He said his name is Jehovah. Hmm. But anyway.
See, Roger, our country was based on freedom of religion, so.
No,
they're not.
I beg your pardon.
Excuse me?
Our country was based on Christianity.
No.
No, the founding fathers were mostly deists.
You need to go back and read Pilgrim's Progress and a few of those books and go back to Massachusetts when they first landed. We got away from this crap when we sailed over here.
Okay.
Roger, the founding fathers were mostly deists.
No, they were not. They were Christians.
Okay.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I need to go
read Newsweek or something. Y'all are not reading the same Bible and things I'm reading.
I need to go read Newsweek?
You need to go read the Bigot Bible, apparently.
By the way, I just came across your program and called this. I never listened to it because it's nothing but garbage.
Oh?
Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, they are the people that tell us the truth.
Okay. They're the truth. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Roger, thanks for coming over to the dark side for a moment. We appreciate you. And we apologize.
All the Muslims. They kill all the Muslims because they done 9/11. All of them.
Does
he realize what a stereotype he's being? Wow.
I
thought I created that character, but no, he actually exists.
I can't find my dueling banjos. Where are they when I need them? Oh, here we go. Yeah, that segment was brought to you by... Can we get a sponsor for those? All right.
Waffle House.
This deliverance moment brought to you by...
Cracker Barrel? What?
There goes that sponsor.
Well, okay. Like they were ever going to sponsor us anyway.
All right. This one belongs in the Isn't It Ironic file. Chinese censors block Obama's call to free the web.
Isn't it ironic?
Huh? He prodded China about internet censorship and free speech, but the message not widely heard in China because they don't, not so much.
Right.
Believe in that. He was not widely heard in China, where his words were blocked online and shown on only one regional television channel. China has more than 250 million internet users, employs some of the world's tightest controls over what they see. They're often criticized for their so-called the Great Firewall of China. We need Reagan to come back, see. And
well, Mr. Who, or whatever your name is,
who?
Tear down that firewall.
Thank you, Jim. Okay. During a town hall in Shanghai, he responded at length to a question about the firewall remarks that were later played down in the Chinese media. He said, I'm a big supporter of non-censorship. I recognize that different countries have different traditions. Oh, China's tradition is to roll over you with a tank if you should believe in the other.
President.
I think that the more freely information flows, the stronger the society becomes. I've always been a strong supporter of open and internet use. I'm a big supporter of non-censorship.
Even though people write a lot of crap about him, he essentially said. I mean,
yeah.
Seriously. Whew, the internet's the test of free speech, isn't it?
Have you seen some of the stuff that's written about you?
Those right-wing sites, stinky bathroom of the internet. Do not go in there. 57 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and it's gonna feel good. Hey!
Uh-oh, is the mic open?
Oh boy.
Is that sexual harassment?
Jim said he feels naked without his computer. He forgot his computer today, and he said he might as well take his pants off. I said yes.
Computer says yes.
I didn't.
Is that sexual harassment?
All right, you were looking at bookings that are available for us.
We got a pitch for Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Name is Hedgecock.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we got a pitch for Roger Hedgecock.
That's balls. What? Oh, I thought we were
shouting out things. Right-wing radio guy.
Yeah.
Sadly for them, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by Saturn.
Saturn must be so proud.
Yes.
The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Cake delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer today. All right. Representative Elliot Engel also rethinking his appearance coming up in a few minutes on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Although he's going to be talking about boobs.
Yes.
Ah,
yes. There's kind of got a lot of controversy about this. Yeah. They're saying they're recommending women don't get mammograms till 50 now.
Yeah.
Well, to get this straight, I've been putting my in a ringer for 8 years and I didn't have to. All right.
Well, a lot of
people are saying that is unwise, that it should remain at 40.
And it's irresponsible, a lot of people are saying, including, I believe, Elliot Engel. So we'll ask him about that.
I probably will not use the phrase putting my in a ringer with the good congressman.
Thank you.
What? Mama on the Larry King Live last night. You can go to StephanieMiller.com and see it in the YouTube section. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller on the Mama.
Stephanie, she's going to campaign for Republican candidates all next year.
Yes, I hope so. I hope she has as much success as she did in New York 23. If she can make one race after another implode, then I'm very happy.
You think she's going to hurt the Republicans she endorses?
It seems like it so far, yeah. I mean, the Republicans are having more within their own party right now, obviously.
Well, that's two races she's made implode so far, the campaign, the McCain campaign, and the New York 23. Good job. She has a perfect record so far. Go, girl.
You go, girl. Girl, sugar and spice. Saturday night. It ain't a man's world. You go, girl.
All right. Ken in Cleveland. Talking about the Stephanie Miller Show going by. Coastal.
Sorry, what?
Yes, by Coastal.
Don't say balls again. Yes, Mama. Over Thanksgiving, Mama will be moving to New York. Mama will be in New York. The Moops in L.A. remain in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
He writes, Dear Mama, I just read an article that says L.A. is number one in cases of
chlamydia.
I certainly hope you don't have something to do with this statistic. Now that you're going by, Coastal that is, I'm going to be keeping a close eye on New York's reported cases of
chlamydia.
We're number one in L.A., huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo! Oh, love it. Robert on New York as well. Robert in Downey. Robert in Downey, California. Steph, I've had mixed feelings about you moving to New York. I love the elitist Hollywood liberal I listen to every day. I don't like the idea of you turning into a snooty East Coast blue blood and hanging around with trust fund babies named Muffy or Buffy or Kip or Chip.
Or
don't
Ron.
Worry. I'm going to continue to be a Hollywood elitist and a snooty New York blue blood. It's two.
Can you do that?
Two annoying liberals in one.
Can you be both?
I don't know. But today, yes, I'm going to be bi.
Coastal.
But today, ball sex as well? But today I changed my mind. I had to get up at 4 a.m. Oh, wah, wah, cry as a river.
3 a.m. here. Thank you.
I had to get up at 4 a.m. to get my wife to LAX by 6. I can't imagine doing that every day. I don't know how you and the mooks do it, but I've come to realize if it'll help you do your job even better, then I'm all for it.
4 a.m. 4 a.m. would be sleeping in.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Another I slept in till 5:30.
Jim Ward has a new fancy later start time. Another plus is it will give Dr. Arthur Perry's night skin, ding, a chance to work its magic a lot longer so you can look even more cougary than you already do. Why, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Perry.
You do look kind of cougary.
Thank you.
When are you going to find yourself a little boy toy?
That's where you can meet the 22-year-old Brazilian supermodels, apparently, that Madonna dates.
Like Jesus Luz?
In New York. What?
Jesus Luz? That's his name.
I'll be on the prowl.
You'll take Madonna's cast-offs.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll be on the prowl.
Maybe you could have A-Rod. He's a Madonna cast-off.
All right. Karen in Fargo. You know, we have a lot of Bible experts, apparently, in the Stephanie Miller. We had a right-wing Bible quoter yesterday. Jim. And I'm not. I'm a little fuzzy on some of those things, so I often can't. I can't have as my usually snappy comeback.
Usually.
I'm like, oh, well, yes, that's Rutabaga's 27.
But in Deuteronomy, it says something.
Yeah, you usually punt on those.
Whatever.
Of course, in the original Aramaic, it sounded more like, well, I...
We had the head of GodHatesShrimp.com on, and we were talking about it. Anyway, you had a right-wing caller yesterday who was attempting to quote from the New Testament. He was trying to quote Romans, which condemns homosexuality as partial proof that God has given up on them. However, Romans and much of the New Testament was not written by Jesus, nor is it an account of his life and deeds. That passage was written by St. Paul, who there was some speculation in an email earlier that he perhaps was...
touched by the gay little...
struggling with his own... You know. Paul also condemns such things as women in leadership positions in church. He doesn't like women on top, no.
Oh.
He was not such a fan of marriage, period. He viewed celibacy as the ideal way of life and sort of begrudgingly wrote that people could get married if they were too weak to hold themselves pure until Jesus returned. So he was for nobody having sex ever, gays or straights.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
That's Paul from the audio version of the Bible.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Paul 24/7.
How do you say that in Latin? I'm sure someone's going to call in and tell us how to say it.
You know, if something is too slutty for Vegas, it is too...
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Too slutty. Live strippers on the back of a truck, too much.
Really?
Even for Sin City, a Las Vegas strip club has agreed to stop advertising a promotion that involved hauling bikini-clad exotic dancers around in a truck with clear plastic sides. That was just, that was too, it's too much for Vegas. That was too, that was not classy enough for Vegas.
Have you seen some of the things on the street in Vegas? Holy crap. And that was too much?
From Vegas Baby Vegas to Drill Baby Drill. Did you, this is a different kind though, Jim. A beverage company has asked a team to drill through Antarctica's ice for a lost cache of some vintage scotch. That's been there since a century ago. Ooh, that's aged nicely. The drillers will be trying to reach two crates of a whiskey that were shipped there by a polar explorer as part of his abandoned 1909 expedition. Yikes.
Wow.
The drinks group that now owns McKinley & Company has asked for a sample of the 100-year-old scotch for a series of tests. Yeah, right. Drill, baby, drill!
It's archaeology.
So that's worth hurling through the ice shelf.
100-year-old scotch? Maybe.
Maybe.
I'd rather drill for scotch than dinosaur bones, that's for sure.
By the way, another Damien from Alexandra. And, good job on Larry King last night, Mama. I want to know, was the other conservative pundit, Sippy Cups, is her name?
S.E. Cup.
Yeah. Sitting in the studio, was she going out to do porn right after? I'm gay, but I recognize the beginnings of straight porn just the same. The overabundance of makeup, the librarian glasses, loose white man's button-down shirt, and loose men's necktie. Bow chicka bow.
She did look like the beginning of a porn.
She did.
Why, let me find that volume for you. Oh, yes, it's right down here.
If you want to take a look at her, just go to stephaniemiller.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and the video is up there.
You're being inappropriate, Larry. I'm going to take my shirt off. All right, let's go to...
I'll show you my Dewey Decimal System.
Adam in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Adam.
Hello, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, when you run into guys like that Limbaugh head talking about the Fort Hood shooting and Allah Akbar, Jehovah, and all that, you should just remind them that Jesus spoke Aramaic, and the word for God in Aramaic is Allah.
Oh, I know it. Oh. Yeah, it sounds too Muslim for him.
Muslim. Interesting. I did not know that.
Yes, the president on the Fort Hood.
I know
tragedy.
There will also be inquiries by Congress, and there should. But all of us should resist the temptation to turn this tragic event into the political theater that sometimes dominates the discussion here in Washington. The stakes are far too high.
You know why he says that, Jim? Because he's a Muslim.
Yeah.
According to G. Gordon Liddy, apparently. Yeah. All right, Denise in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Denise.
Good morning, my good people.
Good morning.
Your last caller, the psycho man, he makes me embarrassed to have a southern accent, and I don't know why I felt I needed to share that. Because he's definitely retarded, and we're most of them aren't, so you guys are the best.
Yeah. Okay. See, but you know what, Denise, this is just like the Fort Hood thing. Like people go, oh, you know, I'm sure Muslims go, oh, I hope it wasn't a Muslim guy. You know what I mean? And this is what happens when you hear a southern guy. You're like, oh,
yeah.
It's a southern accent.
Denise, I'm from the south, too, and... that made me cringe. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I think Geraldo Rivera told the story. When they were kids, they would always pray when there was some crime in the news. Like, pray it's not a Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Just like, anyway, he didn't get two syllables out before she was like, oh, man. Stand me out there, ye what? I got you, you don't know the moves. She's like, oh, no.
Jeez.
Oh, a hee-haw exploded again. All right. The president we mentioned in China, of course, talking about the openness,
yes,
which was not seen in China because they don't believe so much.
No, computer says no.
Computer openness or others.
In the United States, information is free, and I have a lot of critics in the United States who can say all kinds of things about me. I actually think that that makes our democracy stronger, and it makes me a better leader because it forces me to hear opinions that I don't want to hear.
Yep. I'm not saying I like it. Okay.
China's sort of the worst of both worlds. You got this laissez-faire cowboy capitalism and Stalinist repression at the same time. It's blah.
Yeah. Blah.
Freedoms of expression and worship, of access to information and political participation, we believe are universal rights.
All right. Oh, I asked for that dinosaur song earlier. You know why? Here's a little tidbit from Caribou Barbie's book, Jim. This will shock you. She doesn't believe so much in the evolution.
Oh, no. That's a shock.
New York Times reviewer writes, elsewhere in the volume, she talks about creationism, saying she, quote, doesn't believe in the theory that human beings, thinking, loving beings, originated from fish that sprouted legs and crawled out of the sea, or from monkeys who eventually swung down from the trees. Don't you know, also, too, in addition.
It's more than that, lady.
In everything that happens to her from meeting Ted to her selection by Mr. McCain for the Republican ticket, she sees the hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
My life is in... you'd think God could have warned her about the landslide. It didn't really turn out very well, but okay.
Oh, my God.
My life is in his hands. I encourage readers to do what I did many years ago, invite him in to take over. And you... too, can lose in a disastrous landslide and then quit your job.
Maybe he could have found the things that you're reading and brought them back to Katie Couric. But apparently he was busy.
You would think if God wanted you to run, God would have given you the information so you wouldn't have to bring it back to ya. And you might...
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to ya.
I think God could have put in a couple of extra brain cells, don't you know?
And gals!
You betcha. Okay.
Darn right. Now say it ain't so, Joe. Doggone it.
Doggone it, God. If you were to want me to run for vice president, why'd you make me dumb as a stump? 20 minutes after the hour. Oh, no. Breaking news on more things that Sarah Palin didn't know. This one will shock you as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, Congressman Elliot Engel of the great state of New York coming up in just a few minutes. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear. This is the kind of razor-sharp awareness you want in a leader of the free world. Sarah Palin said she did not know Bristol was having sex.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh,
Dad. What is that?
Oh,
maybe she
God.
Couldn't hear her over the sound of her having sex with Brad.
Oh, my God.
Did I bring up that tabloid rumor again?
Which tabloid rumor?
Oh, the one that Sarah Palin was having an affair with Brad, who was Tad's partnering in a snow machine business. Okay, yeah, she says she didn't know Bristol was sexually active. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good job there. Okay. Ooh, she didn't have as much vetting of her daughter as the McCain camp did her. So she told Oprah, she's not on my radar screen running in the 2012 also, too. She admits she wasn't going to run for a second term. She felt she'd already become a lame duck. She said, my dad, this is about quitting in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
She said, my dad's quote sums it up. She's not retreating. She's reloading.
What?
That's gun humor there. That's...
No, she quit her job.
She quit her job.
I told you, her friend that was on Larry King with me last night actually said, Jim, something like, oh, she got more done in 2 years than she was, I guess, as I said, on the Evelyn Wood speed governing class. Mm-hmm. So she didn't need to finish because...
Like making women pay for their own rape kits. That was good.
Yeah, she got more done than most people do in 4 years.
Sports center that wasn't paid for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of left the state of Alaska in a lurch.
Yeah.
I love that. One of my favorite parts of this whole story is that she wanted to give a speech. I don't like the vice presidential candidate never gives a speech, but it just, she when asked about the denial of her request to deliver a speech on election night following the loss, she said she was disappointed that we did not take one last opportunity to remind all Americans that united we will move forward, and that's what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you wanted to talk because it was you, because you're getting ready to run again, so you wanted it to put a little more time in the spotlight is what you wanted.
Yeah, McCain's political body wasn't even cold yet, and he was starting to run for president in 2012.
Apparently, there's a lot of people that night, Jim, like speaking into their wrists. Oh, she's going to the stage. Cut her off. Cut her off. Yeah. They actually did. They had to cut off the lights and the mic because she was like moving toward the stage.
Right.
The eagle's getting ready to land. Cut her off. Cut her off. Cut, cut the lights. She talked about Levi. She said some of the things he's doing now are kind of heartbreaking. The photo shoot.
Oh, with the hockey stick.
She said, I call that porn. I don't know what she called it when he was her daughter with it, but apparently now it's porn.
Now it's porn.
Yes.
You know, apparently he's hiding his bits with a hockey stick in the pictures.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back to Balgate 2009. Catherine in Tucson.
Hey, I got a question about the Republicans.
Yes.
Yes. And if he had not bowed and if he had shaken hands, would they have criticized him for not following Japanese customs?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You're paying attention. They would have criticized anything he did, no matter what. Okay. Scott in Illinois on Caribou Barbie. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Stephanie. You have to be careful with all this coverage of Sarah Palin. You start to sound like her, actually.
Oh, and I can't help it. I've been talking about her.
Well, you know, are we talking about the bow?
Yes. Oh, you want to talk about Balgate? Yes, Balgate 2009. Well, welcome.
You know, remember when Ronald Reagan curtsied to the Queen when she came over?
Reagan curtsied?
Yes, he curtsied to the Queen. Yes. That was gay.
That is gay.
Scandalous. And gay.
Oh. All right.
Well, I missed that somehow. I don't know.
I don't even know if that's true, but it sounded good.
Sure.
All right. When we come back, we have Congressman Elliot Engel, and then I have some Charlie Crist news.
Uh-oh. Is he married again?
Exceedingly neat and tan, formerly bachelor
he
governor of Florida.
He loves his wife and Larry Craig's wife. That's how much love he has.
Oh.
28 minutes after the hour, back with Congressman Elliot Engel of the great state of New York on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So what are you going to do without us numbskulls to supervise?
I plan to fill the void with gardening, early dining, and...
Stephanie Miller.
Ha!
33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Bill in Chicago is befuddled by our show, as many people are when they first tune in. Hello, Bill! Oh, I did the wrong line again. Sorry. Hi, Bill!
How are you?
Good!
Listen, I like the show so far. I'm new to it. I'm a left-leaning independent, but I'm also a reporter in suburban Chicago. And about an hour ago, you folks had an item about the prisons and about the politicians, and you mentioned the representative for the area that I cover, which is the western suburbs. You said her name was Judy Biggett, B-I-G-G-E-T-T. Her name is Judy Biggert.
Right. Okay.
R-T. That's
better.
And
right.
What you guys do that, you know, you're playing right into the hands of the Hannitys and all these other clowns who are going to say, oh, they can't even get her name right.
Our bad.
Yeah, get her name right.
We're sorry. We apologize to Ms. Biggett. Biggert. All right. You know, I get more things right than Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me?
What? Roger Hedgecock. You keep getting that wrong.
Oh, see? Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Once again. All right. In a completely unrelated story, Charlie Crist
Oh, Stephanie.
Florida Governor Charlie Crist is witnessing a sharp downturn in his political fortunes. Even after a series of self-inflicted wounds, ranging from the dubious assertion that he never endorsed President Obama's...
Endorsed?
President Obama's giant stimulus package. To the departure of a longtime communications director and a slide in the polls, Crist remains the undisputed frontrunner against the GOP whack, the other right-wing guy, Rubio. Marco!
Rubio.
Thank you, that guy.
Crist had a slide in the polls?
There is little question that Battleship Crist has sprung a leak. You sunk my battleship. There's a sense among some Republicans out there that he has lost his mojo, said one Republican strategist. Chief among them is the Obama's $787 economic stimulus, and Crist's head-scratching recent claim on CNN that he didn't endorse it. In fact, Crist had called the plan fabulous earlier this year.
Fabulous.
I'm guessing that he fired the communications director that allowed him to say...
Fabulous.
Oh, why did you let me use that word?
Oh, bless his heart.
What is butch for fabulous? Someone give me a dictionary.
Isn't there some kind of thesaurus? Isn't there a manly thesaurus?
Congressman on hold listening to all of this?
Oh, heavens. Right. Let's go. Heavens. Congressman Elliot Engel joins us from the great state of New York. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. I'll always wait on hold for you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Perfectly okay.
Thank you, Congressman. You're working on important stuff. I was very interested as a woman about this, because we've been hearing for years that 40 is when you're supposed to start getting mammograms. So who is it? The United States Preventive Services Task Force came out recently and said you can start at 50. Go ahead.
Well, they came out with it yesterday. They're very respected, very influential. But in my calling around, I'm going to stick with the American Cancer Society. They still feel that women in their 40s should go for annual screening, and I'm going to stick with that because I've come into contact with a number of tragic cases in my life of women in their 40s who have gotten breast cancer. So I just don't see any reason, unless they're trying to say that. There is somehow too many screenings going on or too many tests. But, when a test can save your life, I don't think it's too many. So
yep.
I don't agree with what they've come out with.
As a woman, let me just tell you, it is pleasant. And I'm happy to know that I haven't been doing it unnecessarily. I agree with you that I think we have to, that we should err on the side of caution. So I'm glad you're speaking out about that.
Yeah, it was kind of a shock, shock about it. I was very surprised. But I figured before I, shoot my mouth off, let me at least talk to the American Cancer Society. And I noticed that they had the same feelings that I did, so I basically stick with them, and I sent out a statement yesterday saying that I think the change sends the wrong message to women, and it's not I don't think it's a very good thing.
Yep. Congressman Engel, where are we on health care in general? I know it seems like there's been a pause while we wait for the Senate bill. Are you still confident we're going to get this done?
I think we're going to get it done. I mean, who knows with the Senate, with the crazy rules they have there, with the cloture and the 60 votes, it's just ludicrous. I mean, we're waiting for the Senate. It's clear that Harry Reid doesn't have 60 votes. He may have 57 or 58, at which point, if there's an impasse, what does he do? Well, he could throw the atom bomb, which is reconciliation, and pass things with 51 votes, meaning that he can just do it with a majority, although it's never been done before on a bill of this magnitude, but it can be done, and I hope he uses that as a club to try to club some people into line. They're not going to, their bill, by the best of hope, will not be as good as our bill.
I know.
And our bill, is not as good as I wanted to see, but in this process, you've got to grab what you can grab, and I think we did a pretty good job in the House of putting forth a bill that will really bring health care into the 21st century, and I'm hoping that if the Senate can do it, we can go to conference and do this before the end of the year. I think that would be really important. Now, if we can't, we can't. But I'm afraid that if we let it go beyond the end of the year, we're going to see these tea parties and all the things we saw in August.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see in January and December and January. And I think we should make it a priority to pass it before the end.
You've got people like Senator Mitch McConnell who will just say anything. As we know, nobody sees the bill until it's out of conference.
Been in Harry Reid's office for 6 weeks, and the other 99 senators have not seen it.
I think we ought to at least have as much time for the other 99 senators and all of the American people to take a look at this bill as Majority Leader Reid has had.
Well, you know, obviously, you never see it until it's ready. Obviously, you know, it's like looking at an easy bake oven.
And who is Mitch McConnell kidding? I mean, they've made a decision a long time ago to just say no to everything that this administration wants. You may get an Olympias no here or there. You may get one vote, as you saw in the House. We had one vote from the Republican in New Orleans, who represents a hugely African American and Democratic district, and he didn't even vote for it until it had the 218 for passage. But basically, the Republican Party is just going to not vote for anything that we do. So we should just, I mean, I'm sorry that that's the case, but since it is, we just should sit amongst ourselves and come up with a bill that the American people will be proud of.
You know, I was reading some AP poll results, Congressman Engel, and, you know, I know what you mean. The longer this goes on, which is what the Republicans are hoping for, they're able to fearmonger just enough. This poll says Americans are worried about hidden costs in the fine print of health care legislation. As we know, your bill is deficit neutral. I mean, you know, but the problem is they keep saying it, and so this poll shows people are pretty much evenly split on the health care reform. There's people quoted in here. One woman said, well, I, for one, know nobody wants to pay taxes for anybody else to go to the doctor. I don't want to pay for somebody to use my money that I could be using for myself. It's this kind of thing that they're getting out there, right?
Well, we think that not only is our bill deficit neutral, but we think it actually saves money, billions of dollars in the first 10 years for sure, and even in the second 10 years. So we think it's going to save money. I mean, that was one of the reasons why we needed to have health care reform, because we needed to get these costs under control. The fallacy of people saying, well, I don't want my money used for whatever, is they think they can close their eyes and have the kind of health care they have now forever, but that's not the case, because since premiums are doubling every 4 or 5 years, it's only a matter of time before their employers drop them or mm-hmm. they can't get help mm-hmm. or there's a so-called pre-existing condition which denies them help.
I thought this part was key, Congressman. It says, when poll questions were framed broadly, the answers seemed to indicate ample support for Obama's goals. When required trade-offs were brought into the question, opinions shifted, sometimes dramatically. That's the thing. It's like, you know, when you have Republicans out there, you know, basically really dividing and fear-mongering and making it sound like, oh, you're going to have to take care of other people, then you know, sometimes the opinions shift.
Right, and what's wrong with taking care of other people? We think we can take care of other people and enhance our health care, and we don't think it's pie in the sky. And the big culprits are the insurance companies, the health insurance companies. They are fighting like crazy to bring down any kind of health care reform. They're fighting for their lives because they like it just the way it is now. They make record profits every year. They collude amongst themselves, and the patient be damned. So they have a stake in bringing this down. And of course, the Republican Party has a stake because they've calculated that if this comes crashing down, as Bill Clinton's plan did in 1994, Democrats can lose the House and the Senate. And this is what they're playing for. I think if we play their game, we're fools. We should just push straight ahead, pass a bill, and show the American people we mean what we say.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Engel, before you go, as congressman from New York, what do you make of all this right-wing debate over having the terror trials in New York, which to me couldn't be more fitting?
Well, you know, it's much ado about nothing. It's Rudy Giuliani on his soapbox demagoguing again, still thinking he's politically relevant, still thinking he can run for president or governor or something like that. I mean, that's all it is. If this president decided to hold a military tribunal, they criticize him for that. So whatever mm-hmm. he does, they're for the opposite. The fact of the matter is, whether it's done by the military in a military court or whether it's done the way the president's proposed, there's no way these guys who are the masterminds of 9/11 are going to not be convicted. So if they're convicted and it's in New York and it's right where the World Trade Center is and the rest of the world sees that American justice works, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman Elliot Engel of the aforementioned great state of New York, thanks so much for coming on, as always, Congressman.
Thank you. Always my pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
There he goes.
Is he going to be your congressman?
I think he's going to be my congressman.
Does he? Wow.
How about that?
No, I have a house here. I live here. I'm going to be bi, as you know.
Sorry, what?
Coastal. Hmm?
Oh, that's different then.
So you're going to have to come back here to vote.
Yes, listen. I'm running from the law. 44 minutes after. I'll just come out with it. 44 minutes after the hour. I'm in the federal talk show host relocation program. 44 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Mark in Scottsdale. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Bowgate. 2009, blah, blah. Hello,
hey,
Mark.
Hey, Stephanie.
Yes.
It's okay for Bush to make out and hold hands with Abdullah, but Obama bows and they go crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for paying attention. All right. Christy, in Spokane. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Christy.
Hi. I just wanted to give some information about a breast self-exam kit.
Oh, Jim would like to join you in that.
What? but this kit's only, it's called the Plexus Pink Kit, PlexusPink. And it's just something that you do when you do your breast exam once a month, and it detects a smaller lump than a mammogram can.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and you can just do
Stop
it.
Stop doing
house.
The motorboating thing. Oh, he is so immature. Thank you for calling with this important health concern. Thank you, Christy.
Yes.
Put your tongue.
Well, that's important.
Yes, it is important. Put your tongue back in your mouth.
Yeah. No radiation.
Stop licking your tongue like a lizard.
What? No.
I thought he was doing William F. Buckley. I didn't know what he was doing over there.
William F. Buckley, Jr.
All right.
Got to do the tongue if you're going to do Buckley. The eyes.
What? Congressman Elliot Engel, who we just had on Healthcare Warrior,
mm-hmm.
he pointed this out. This Senate, what's the point of the Senate?
It gives a voice to smaller states. Mm. That's why we have the Senate.
He was implying this, but oh, there's some breaking news. Goldman Sachs report concludes insurers would profit from a watered-down Senate health care bill.
Uh-huh.
They did a read. Goldman Sachs did a report analyzing the impact of health reform on Cigna, Aetna, WellPoint, blah, 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 blah. The report points out the more centrist version of the Senate Finance Committee legislation would lead to the highest aggregate revenue growth for the insurance industry.
Great.
Isn't that great for them? Should lawmakers further water down the Senate Finance Committee bill, the industry will stand to profit, the report implies, suggesting the bull case scenario is a reform package that brings in millions of new government-subsidized customers without requiring the industry to pay any new taxes. Good job, bully! Oh, by the way, an update on the stupid amendment.
Yeah.
Senator Bob Casey, Democrat of Pennsylvania, who is a pro-life.
Pro-life, yes.
Yes. He will oppose the STUPAC amendment.
Huh.
Senator Casey thinks that health care reform should not be used to change longstanding policies regarding federal financing of abortion, which has been in place since 1976, in a statement from his office.
Good.
Senator Barbara Boxer, the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
Said if someone wants to offer this very radical amendment, which would really tear apart a decades-long compromise, then I think at that point they would have to have 60 votes to do it. President Obama, as you know, has also indicated that he wants to preserve the status quo on abortion coverage. So I hope they iron out that little wrinkle. That'd be nice. All right. We were talking about Charlie Crist earlier in a completely unrelated story. Mm-hmm. Former Congressman Mark Foley. The only connection being Florida Republicans.
Exit stage left, even.
It's been 3 years since he resigned from the House because of the unpleasantness involving the
Pages.
The boys.
Mm-hmm.
He has made the most of civilian life. He's a real estate agent and a local talk radio host.
Even. There's no stage left or right to exit from in radio.
Here's some interesting news. Foley is a fan of President Obama.
What?
He said, I think he's a brilliant guy. I've admired him. Obama, when he used to come into the State of the Union, there was something about his stride. Something about the cut of that man's jib. I never expected him to necessarily be president when I first met him, but there's an aura about the guy that's special and fabulous.
I think he avoided, unlike his colleague Charlie Crist, he avoided use of the word fabulous.
Okay.
He's got a long stride, even. Which is better than a wide stance. Exit stall left, even.
Oh, it's the other guy.
That's the other guy. I think we talked about the noted Crystal Methodist Ted Haggard yesterday, and you know he, as you know, is completely heterosexual now. He went through the degang where I think they use the electrodes to defabulous you.
Fabulous.
No. Yeah, that's how you get rid of that.
Fabulous.
No. It takes a few times, but then it's
fabulous.
Right out of your vocabulary. Poof. Okay. By the by, Representative Barney Frank revealed the legislative timeline for repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I think I mentioned this in other, maybe the president's playing chess and not checkers like the rest of us, news. That he said military issues are always done as part of the overall authorization bill. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was always going to be part of the military authorization, which is upcoming. Now the movement to repeal the ban on gays in the military has gained even more momentum. Three former military chaplains are announcing they are support a full repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Woo-hoo! Would you like some fun facts? Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The 2009 Joint Forces Quarterly article says, after a careful examination, there is no scientific evidence to support the claim that unit cohesion will be negatively affected if homosexuals serve openly. A 1993, last time we tried this. A report concludes the same, as do several other military commissioned reports. In addition, 68%, that's nearly 70, Jim, of Iraq and Afghanistan troops said in a Zogby poll they either knew for certain or suspected there were gays in their own unit. 73%, that's more than 70%.
Yes, way more.
Of troops in the poll said they were comfortable in the presence of gay peers. Approximately two service members are discharged every day under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. This number includes, of course, linguists, physicians, pilots, and others, highly trained personnel in mission-critical specialties. Costs for the training of replacements are in the hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good, but thank God we're so flush now that we can afford it. Everything's great with the economy and stuff.
And also just, you know, frontline soldiers as well.
This is a, I love this. On Saturday, you know, these teabaggers, and I don't know what they're called, all these right-wing groups. In Columbus, one of our very personal favorite cities, on Saturday, a few dozen anti-immigration activists gathered on the steps of the this was in Minnesota, this one, in the states in the Minnesota state capitol for a tea party, part of the effort by Americans for Legal Immigration. A concerned citizen from Minneapolis named Robert Erickson, trademark, managed to get on the speaking list. His address started with the standard anti-immigrant rhetoric and then revealed he was talking about European immigrants. But by this time, however, the crowd was in a frenzy and joined him in his chants of Columbus go home and Europeans out. He started yelling, let's send these European immigrants back where they came from. I don't care if they're Polish, Irish, English, Norwegian. European immigrants are responsible for the most violent and heinous crimes in the history of the world, including genocide and slavery. It's time to restore the sovereignty of people native to this land. I want more workplace raids, starting with the big banks downtown. The teabaggers, blogger said the teabaggers seem pretty clueless for the most part, don't even seem to realize they've been punked.
Wow.
Yeah!
That means me.
What?
Jim, you mentioned the story the other day. This is the kind of climate we live in. A Greek Orthodox priest visiting the U.S. got lost in Tampa and tried to stop and ask directions from a Marine reservist. But instead of offering help, Bruce struck the priest on the head with a tire iron, believing he was an Arab terrorist. He was
a moron.
Greek,
See, they're lowering the standards. Even the Marines are letting in numbskulls like that.
Wow. Along those lines, here's good news for the people of Colorado. Tom Tancredo says he fully intends to run for governor. For governor. Here are some of the fabulous gets the quotes. He said he doesn't know if Obama hates white people. He argued that Judge Sonia Sotomayor is a member of the Latino KKK without the hoods of the nooses. And claimed that Obama was racist because he nominated Sonia Mayor, he actually called
Sonia
her.
Mayor.
Sonia Mayor.
For the Supreme Court.
Yeah, because she doesn't have an American name like Tancredo.
That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.